I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Peter, I've been looking forward to meeting you to talk about small business and the city. And my first question is, why did you leave the Rockefeller Foundation Philanthropy to go back to your family's small business?
I'd spent 12 great years with the Rockefeller Foundation as their chief operating officer, but my family business was turning 100 years old, and I really learned it at the Rockefeller Foundation because in 2013, while I was there, Rockefeller turned 100, the foundation, and I understood the value of 100 years doing something and how important it was to celebrate that. And I felt a strong pull to go back to the business because it was turning 100 and I wanted to be there for that.
For your dad and grandfather, yes. And for your family.
Yes. I mean, it's a family business. It was started by my grandfather. My father and my uncle ran it for 25 or 30 years. My brother took it over in the mid-80s. He was killed in a car accident prematurely, and then I went back to the business and left city government in 1988. Stayed there about 12 years, and then I went back to city government again to work for Mike Bloomberg.
And you were a top administrator to Bloomberg as well as working at the Rockefeller Foundation. Does the small business, even though it is a family business, hold your attention? I mean, you've been a big fish.
There's running the business was the hardest job I ever had. And I had two pretty tough jobs. But you know, you have to make a payroll every week that people depend on. You have to make sure your product every day is of quality and consistency, that there's customer service. So it requires you to pay attention. I really do more of the public relations and quality control. I don't bake much anymore. But it's really about making sure that every day your product is excellent and consistent.
So you walk in, and what's the first one or two things you look at?
First thing is I eyeball all the product that came out, either from the night bake or the morning bake, to make sure the quality is there, the size, the color, the consistency in terms of what it looks like. I'll smell some of it, I'll taste some of it, and that's what quality control is in the bakery business.
What are you looking for? What's the right color for that bread to be?
There are two kinds of bread. One is a much lighter crust and one is a much darker crust, so I want to see the difference between those two. One is a thicker crust, one is a thinner crust. So things like that. Are the breads that have seeds on them really covered with seeds, if that's the way we want it? So it's really about product control and quality.
This is interesting to me. So you say, all right, well, things look somewhat under control here. What's the next thing you check?
I go down the basement and look at what we're going to do for the day, what we're going to do for the next day, what we're going to do for the week in terms of production, and, you know, pay the bills. make sure the payroll is done every week. We have a history of paying our bills in 7 days. We feel that that's how you build a relationship with your vendors. They can count on you for what they're giving you and getting paid for it.
And how do you find out if there had been any complaints or problems that be hidden from the owner?
Well, your customers will tell you because they won't come. That's the first time. You know, you want to look at your customer count pretty regularly. So I look at that, is our customer count at least stable, if not growing? But your customers will let you know if they're not happy with the product. Nowadays you have all sorts of things like Yelp and, you know, social media apps that can tell you what people are thinking and saying about you.
Somebody said, as we were just setting up here, Martin, Amazon is going to put, quote, mom and pops out of business. And I said, that's what we're here to talk about. What do you say?
I think they will put a hurt on lots of businesses. My hope And my belief is we make a hand product. Everything we do is by hand. We don't use machines. We use best quality materials for our breads and our cookies. I believe there's going to be a niche business for us that of people who want to come in and smell what they're buying before they buy it, want to see it before they get it, want to have a choice that is real, and something that's done by still done by hand in a very traditional old world way.
How is business generally around Arthur Avenue in the Bronx?
I believe Arthur Avenue has made a real renaissance. It is the real Little Italy in this town. It is vibrant. It is flourishing. There are four bakeries there. There are four pastry shops. There are three butchers. There are two fish stores. It's a really unique neighborhood. And mine is one of the half a dozen 100-year-old businesses there. Same family. Very unusual. And there are two more coming in the next 2 years.
So Amazon has had almost no effect in your neighborhood?
No. I mean, not yet.
Imagine that.
They're now just getting into the food business. But I do believe we will have people who care about what they're buying. They want to see it, and they want to know it's made the traditional way.
And there's an appeal of there being something distinctive about your neighborhood. And that's going to be the key to any neighborhood to beat Amazon, right? Whatever it is about them.
It's part of it is the experience of walking al fresco in a neighborhood where you can shop at the same time and then go sit down and have a nice lunch and a glass of wine. And, you know, we have a dozen restaurants there, all in this, you know, 6-8 block area. So I think it's as much about the experience, about this authenticity of family-owned businesses being around for 100 years, doing things that their grandfather did, evolving. We make a whole new line of breads now that are specialty breads that are not Italian, but we also do all the things my grandfather did. Right. So we really have evolved as a business and as a business community.
Speaking as someone who is an expert in economic development, tell us more about this. I'm told that the first rule of economic development, whether in Westchester, New Jersey, Connecticut, wherever, is that you have to start building off of the businesses and industry that are there now. Is that so, and how do you do that?
I would say there's two things, especially for ours, because it's in part a hospitality business. One is, you know, what is your core? Our core are these, you know, collective, I call it an ecosystem of businesses that are there 100 years doing something very authentic and traditional. We are part of a larger ecosystem where Little Italy in the Bronx is. We have the Bronx Zoo, we have the Botanical Garden, Fordham University, and St. Barnabas Hospital all around us. So we're, this smaller ecosystem is part of a much larger ecosystem, and we all feed off each other. So we constantly have a new set of people coming who are visiting the Bronx Zoo for the first time, families that are visiting the
Bronx.
And
you're in walking distance.
We are within walking distance, or certainly a 2-minute car ride. Yeah. Same for the Botanical Garden. The train show that is at the garden now, which is spectacular, brings 300,000 people a year, many of them first time. Right. And many of them come to have lunch or dinner in the neighborhood, and they discover the neighborhood. We had this year the first Pizza Fest. So we had pizzaiolas from around the world, from Naples and from around the country, 25 of them, a block over from Arthur Avenue. And many, many first-time visitors who had no idea this little gem of a neighborhood exists and is really authentic.
Do you advertise, or is there ever any discussion of Arthur Avenue advertising as a group saying, we're the real Little Italy?
We do. I chair the Business Improvement District there. So we've set up a business. I did it when I was at City Hall.
Right.
I chair the Business Improvement District. We've actually have a My Arthur Avenue commercial that we air a couple of times a year in Lower Westchester. You know, we're a regional presence now.
Right.
Our customers are, and we know this from marketing data, 85% of our customers come from between 5 and 40 miles away, and their average income is upwards of $150,000 a year. So we have a very unique clientele, particularly given where we are. We're in the poorest congressional district in America.
See, look at you perk up. As soon as you start talking marketing data, our advertising campaign, You love that,
I do.
Right?
And we're getting ready to hire a marketing firm to do some. I think we're ready for another level of exposure. Because we're such a regional presence, we now have tour buses from Italy, tour buses from Japan coming.
Come on.
So, you know, part of it has to be managed. And that is why we set up the business district. And we're now starting to see real estate prices creep up.
But see, Peter,
that makes me nervous.
Right. But that's so true. You just said a mouthful. All these big ideas, they have to be managed.
Yes.
And this is what I think a lot of big companies and maybe smaller businesses lose track of. Somebody told me they were in a meeting at a big company the other day. All these great ideas were flowing around, but everybody's kind of looking down because nobody had the time to manage it. They need managers.
Yes. That is the reason we set up the business district.
Right.
I also learned something. You know, one of the roles I had at Rockefeller, we have a conference center in Italy, 52-acre conference center where people come to spend a month and write a book or a piece of music. And I oversaw that operation. It's in part a hospitality business. So I started to think about, when I was at Rockefeller, who does hospitality the best? And I think the best in the business is Disney.
Okay.
So sent the person who runs the facility down to Disney to take their course, and I took the materials back and looked at them myself. Everybody thinks Disney's about entertainment first. Their first priority is security, safety.
Yep.
Second is cleanliness. Third is customer satisfaction. Fourth is experience. That is how I started to think about our business district. We have security guards now that walk the streets. We have sanitation people that clean. And now we're really ready to get to the next level. What's the customer experience and what does marketing look like for us as we grow as a business community?
Well, you sound almost like Michael Bloomberg himself speaking. I mean,
I learned a lot from Mike Bloomberg.
Like like management.
First rule, Mike, and he used to say this publicly, you know, hire good people and let them do their jobs. Give them the tools they need, back them up, support them, but let them do their jobs. If they don't do it well, then you have to deal with that. But if they do it well, leave them alone. Be open to new ideas, big ideas. Don't be afraid to take a risk. You've got to manage risk, but don't be afraid to take risk. And Mike looked at this, and his understanding, I think his real legacy will be around Mike's understanding of what it costs to run this city, and that people don't want to hear you can't provide service. They want their service.
Right.
And so Mike's, because he was a businessman, his approach to how do you pay for all this was to grow the economy. He brought tourism from 15 million people a year to 50. Those are revenue dollars that help support service provision for the city. He brought the applied science school here to start to grow that industry.
And now comes Amazon.
And what came right behind it? Amazon. Those things are not an accident. I think that's Mike's great legacy, his real understanding of what it takes to pay for the things that people want in a city like this, to keep it at the top of its game from a service provision. And nobody wants to hear you cutting services or raising taxes. You can't continue to raise taxes to pay for stuff. So Mike's business mind said, we have to grow the revenues in a different way. And that was expanding business and expanding the tax base through business.
Wow. Well, your legacy is what you're doing for your family business and businesses in the business district, as well as all the other things you're doing.
I'm very proud of it. I will tell you, you know, my grandfather came over here on a boat with his sister and his brother at 11 years old. I don't know that he ever saw this.
No. God bless.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Peter.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.